Welcome to Meet Your Neighbor, the podcast that highlights the people and stories that make Westbrook Village a truly exceptional community. I'm your host, Steve Merrilla, local realtor, neighbor, and proud member of this vibrant community. Each episode, we sit down with residents to learn about their careers, life experiences, and what brought them to Westbrook Village. It's a chance to connect, share, and celebrate the unique journeys that shape our neighborhood. Thanks for tuning in. And now, let's meet your neighbor. Welcome back to Meet Your Neighbor. I'm your host, Steve Merrilla, and today's guest is someone with deep roots right here in Peoria, Carl Albrecht. Carl graduated from Peoria High School, joined the Air Force, and spent years traveling the world before making his way back home. What's really wild is as a young man, he used to dove hunt on the land that is now Westbrook Village. And today, he's traded in his shotgun for a pickleball paddle and a set of golf clubs. A really neat story and a really great guy. Thanks for joining me. Now let's meet your neighbor. Hello, Carl. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh my gosh, Carl. Soon as the record went on, some people panic. You got full of energy. I like it. Obviously, Carl just told me that he had done this before. So what is your history with doing podcasts or just the recording world?
Well, I've been in audiovisual world for all my life, for over 40 years.
Really?
I had my own company doing audiovisual support for conferences literally around the world. I got a start in American Forces Radio and Television when I was active duty in the Air Force, while I was in Okinawa, Japan. It was a great opportunity. I had my regular job was loading bombs, and I didn't see much of a career after the Air Force. You know, I mean, not too many airlines hang bombs these days. So anyhow, they wouldn't let me cross train. So while I was in Japan, I worked my regular job, 8 hours a day.
Yep.
And then I went and volunteered another 8 hours a day at American Forces Radio and Television in Okinawa, Japan.
Awesome. So, okay. So that is crazy because it kind of reminds me of Robin Williams. working his radio gig. Let's start kind of from the beginning, because one thing that we were just talking about that's kind of unusual is you grew up here in Peoria.
I did.
And now you're living in Peoria.
around
the world and back. So tell me, what was it like growing up in Arizona?
Well, so we moved out here in 69 in Phoenix, you know, a population of 250,000. And now it's, what, over 6 million in the valley. Primarily Hispanic and Native American people,
yep.
Great folks. I was a little blonde-haired boy that was definitely the minority. It was fun. It was interesting. So I went to Peoria High School, graduated
yep.
in 76, give you an idea. I roamed with the dinosaurs. But anyhow,
my wife was born in 75, so just, you know.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm going to leave it alone. So anyhow, in Westbrook where we live, I used to go dove hunting out here, you know,
it
was, you know, in the orchards, it was all cotton fields. It was fun. It, was definitely a small rural area.
That is fascinating because Westbrook is built on an old, orange orchard.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that true?
I think it was called the Bodine Farms.
The Bodine Farms?
I think. I don't
okay.
remember if that was the correct name or not. But
so you get through high school. Where are you going then?
Well, I decided to get in the Air Force.
Okay.
And joined the Air Force in 77, spent 6 years active, and another 16 reserve, total
okay.
22 years.
Wow.
16 of it out here, actually more than that, out at Luke Air Force Base.
Okay.
And saw some growth out there.
So when you were growing up, was Luke Air Force Base, were they flying the jets by as much as they are now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Luke's been a training base for a very long time and, you know, cut back in World War II. And
yeah.
It's I've seen a lot of activity out there. I went from F-4s to F-16s and F-15s. And so a lot of airplanes out there.
A lot of airplanes out there. Wow, that's fascinating, especially just traveling around. What was it like in Japan? I mean,
you know, that was really exciting.
I have to think.
Every day was an adventure.
You sure.
know? And the language, you know, I picked up a few words, just enough to, you know, get me by. Where's the bathroom? And, you know, this and that. But every day was an experience. I lived off base purposely, wanted to get to know the culture.
Sure.
And so I had a little tiny apartment there, and it was really cool.
Huh. And how long were you there for?
I was there 18 months.
Okay.
So that was considered a short tour. Looking back at it, it was probably one of the best tours of my life.
Really?
You know, every day was an experience.
What was the, so you're on an island, mm-hmm. and was it just beautiful?
It was beautiful. It's very tropic. Yeah. They call it the Hawaiian Islands of Japan.
Okay.
And yeah, and there was so much to see, so much to do. There was a local U.S. USO. I love that. And anyhow, every weekend there was always something,
huh.
you know, and got involved with different communities and stuff like that. Learned a lot. And, you know, you get that camaraderie going.
Yeah. Do you still have friends from that tour?
I really don't.
Really?
No. Well, that's not true. There was one guy I actually went through basic and a couple of tours together that we still stay in contact. He lives in another state, but you know, Facebook keeps a lot of people in
Facebook
touch, right?
Facebook does reconnect. Yeah, it's also ruined some marriages. People yeah. reconnect at the wrong time.
Yeah.
So then you did your tour. You did how many different tours did you do? So you did 18 months there.
I did you know, basic training in tech school. And then my first base was in Mountain Home, Idaho. I'm a city boy, so, you know, it didn't work out too well for me. We spent
okay.
2 years there, then 18 months in Okinawa, then returned back to Luke Air Force Base.
Oh, okay.
So I got out of active duty there, and then had a short break in service, but went back into the reserve unit. So I spent another 16 years out there.
Wow. What was it? So what was your main gig throughout your career?
I had several. So I started out loading bombs.
Let's stop right there. Tell me about loading bombs.
Is it as
dangerous as it sounds?
No. I mean, you can be stupid and do things, but you know, it's actually fairly safe. You know, there's the right way and wrong way to do everything. You know,
right.
I mean, these things
Correct.
Can kill you, obviously, but no, it's actually. It's just like a job. You just take it careful, you know.
Right.
So they have the little what they call a cart, where, you know, when they release the bombs, because of the airflow, they have to push the bombs away from the airplane. Otherwise, they'll just hang there.
Oh.
So those actually look like a little 12-gauge shotgun shell without just the butt part of it.
Okay.
Know,
without
yep. the bullet part in there.
Yep.
That was probably the most dangerous part, because you had to make sure that there was no static electricity in your hands when you put them in. So in Mountain Home, it would get cold, and I was working midnight shift, and
sure.
be like, you know, with the wind chill factor 75 below zero.
Oh,
so
wow.
it got cold. So, but you had to touch metal with your bare hands, and you know what it's like touching freezing metal. Your skin sticks to it. So
right.
Other than that, it was just a regular job.
I thought you were going to say something exploded.
No.
There's no explosions in this story, huh?
No explosions. Just do your job, do it right as you're trained, and
right.
Huh. So yeah.
So what did you do when you were in the reserves? When you came home, got in the reserves?
I had a couple of different jobs. So I got in, started out as a carpenter.
Okay.
And I learned that I got a new nickname there. They called me One Inch Ulbrich, because I was always an inch off. And so I on my cuts. And so, but anyhow, I learned how to, you know, measure twice, three times before you make a cut.
Sure.
Then went into production control. So a production control superintendent for the civil engineering portion. And I had an opportunity to go into Intel, so I did a little bit of Intel, then into flight operations. Then I have to admit, the best job I ever had in my life was the first sergeant.
Really?
You know, you think, okay, the meanest, ugliest people are become the first sergeant, but to me, I was a squadron dad.
Well, tell me what a first sergeant's role is.
People,
just manager.
Your job is people.
Okay.
Taking care of your troops. That was exciting to me. I had some challenges. I had
sure.
people that would, you know, hey, I'd get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning. So and so's drunk. Come and get him. I said, when I wake up and get there, I'll get him. Leave him in jail. You know,
right.
Same way if one guy decided to beat up his wife, I had no tolerance for that. And I said, just leave him there. When I get there, I get there.
Right.
But I had other opportunities where, you know. Be able to promote somebody.
Or, oh, sure.
Or
very,
you know,
gratifying.
You know, that
yeah.
kind of stuff. I had one person who we found out was an alcoholic, and working around jet engines, being drunk is not a safe thing.
Right.
So anyhow, this person, we were able to, unfortunately, do some discipline.
Yep.
But this person was a tremendous hard worker and great person. So we took a strike from this person. And anyhow, I got a big hug from her. And
sure.
Afterwards, she goes, I've been drunk for 20 years.
Wow.
And she goes, thanks for saving my life.
That is awesome.
You know, and then, you know, a year later, we made her go through a program. She became clean, gave her her stripes back, and saw this person grow. And
is that maybe your most rewarding story?
That was probably one of the most rewarding
stories.
That's
awesome. So when you're doing a podcast or you're listening to someone talk, you could just tell how you lit up when you talked about that role that you had and what you do. It transitions well into what you're doing today, because you really are a fighter for the vets. I mean, I see you around our community, because we live in Westbrook. And one thing I was in the Army National Guard, but I haven't been around service people in my whole life. And I notice at Westbrook, there is such a pride of every serviceman. If you're a Marine, you're a Marine. If you're Air Force, you're Army. And and they're just so proud of their service. And it's really nice to see. I wish we had more younger people around us to see how it affected your life and how much you got out of serving. It's really nice to see, and thank you for your service.
Thank you. And you know, I'd gotten away from the pride that I had as a veteran.
Yeah.
But you know, I got back into like the club here. I'm also with the Veterans Chamber of Commerce, and it restored my pride of service. So with that, I'm going to invite you, Steve, to become a member of our Veterans Club.
All right.
You know, we're doing things. And it's mainly about camaraderie, patriotism, and community. I mean, that's our three main things. And, you know, it is a fun group. There is a lot of camaraderie. For example, just a few weeks ago, we celebrated a gentleman's birthday, 100 years old.
Okay.
He flew in World War II, flew in Korea, and in Vietnam.
Wow.
You don't see that.
No.
Yeah. And
who was that? Do I know him?
I think it's...
Are you forgetting his name? Oh, well, we're not starting the podcast.
I'm having a senior moment.
You know what? I'll mention the name at the end.
Okay.
No worries. Yeah, a senior moment. Boy, we have a lot of those, don't we? I mean, I never thought that was a thing until I hung around seniors.
Yeah.
I started getting mine in my 30s, but my senior moments came early. But that has to be super rewarding for you.
Yeah.
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 And so like last year, we raised money. We raised over $26,000, and we gave it all away to different organizations. And one, hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So in the VA, their typical prescription for PTSD is psychotropic drugs.
Okay.
Okay. So give you a little information, on the average, according to the official records, there are 22 veterans a day in this country commit suicide.
Wow.
22 a day.
That's sad.
Arizona is the sixth highest amount, and it's actually increasing more than that, which is sad. So there are other alternatives to this tragedy, you know.
Right.
And these guys and gals come back, you know. They've seen some ugly things in war.
Sure.
And experienced stuff. I mean, you know, taking someone's life or seeing your buddy blowing to bits, that's hard on a person. So there are other alternatives. So as like the oxygen hyperbaric therapy that pumps oxygen deep into the cells and helps grow. So one of the things that our club did was help. There was an individual that was suicidal, young man.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
We sponsored him to put him through
this therapy. Wow.
At no cost to him.
Wow.
You know, and so things like that.
Did that help him?
He's going through the therapy.
He's going through the therapy
and,
right
and,
now.
But I've seen other guys and gals that have gone through this and totally have changed their lives. I saw one individual who was a senior NCO in National Guard come back with the brain injuries.
Yeah.
And PTSD, and just was a basket case. I mean, he was suicidal and wouldn't talk and whatever. So anyhow, this gentleman, after he went through it, he wouldn't shut up. He just wouldn't shut up.
He was too happy.
He was too happy. Totally changed his life. Wow. Totally changed his marriage in a positive way. He's got a spring in his life. And he actually, they kind of forced him out of the Army.
Yeah.
He got back in.
Wow.
As a senior NCO.
Wow.
And doing great. So this is the kind of stuff that, you know, just gets me excited.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, I never knew that you were helping so many people.
Well, it's a group effort, you know.
Yeah.
And as you know, I'm going to steal the Army's phrase, you know, Army of One.
Right.
You know? And that's not one individual. That's one group of people acting as
right.
one. And
yeah.
I like that that term they have, and it really is. And you know, it's kind of fun. You get the you veterans together, you got the Army and the Marine Corps, and we're always picking on each other, you put us all together and pick on us, and you're in trouble.
Yeah. there's a power in numbers.
Yeah,
that's for
camaraderie.
Sure. Yeah it's great. I love seeing it around Westbrook. I love seeing it around Arizona. You know, there's something special about when you're at an airport and you see someone in their dress.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called again? Is it
the BDUs? Battle dress.
Yeah, and they're just traveling somewhere, mm-hmm. and you know they're going on a mission. You know, mm-hmm. where we're going on a trip, mm-hmm. on a vacation. You know, it's everything changes when you're in the service. It's all about what the priorities are. It's not
right.
Having fun, enjoying life is not a priority when you're serving. So I think everyone that gets out feels extra special.
Right.
And I see that in Westbrook Village, the people that they really enjoy being there. They enjoy what we have. They enjoy your organization. I love seeing what you're doing and what's happening with all the vets around here. So good job.
Thanks.
Let's get back to Westbrook Village. So how long have you lived there?
We've been here about 6.5 years now.
6.5. What's your favorite thing about Westbrook besides me?
Definitely you, Steve. It's a great place to live. It's fun. It's community. There's so much to do. I mean, think about it. There's over 80 clubs.
80 clubs.
80 clubs. And if you get bored and you have nothing to do, shame on you.
Yeah, that's your fault.
Yeah.
Is your wife involved in any of the clubs?
She is. She's with the Glass Club. She's
okay.
The president of the Glass Club.
Oh, she's president of the Glass Club.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to get into that. I mean, I've never... So you can make vases and stuff there, right?
Is you make all kinds of stuff there.
Huh.
And there's some really... You see some really beautiful and talented stuff coming out of there.
That's the thing about a retirement community, especially Westbrook. What I love is we have some... we have some Division I tennis players playing mm-hmm. pickleball. We've got people that have done some great things, some great athletes, some great artists that... We are so fortunate to see what they can do at this age. I mean, it's fun. It's fun to experience and kind of, be inspired by them. Like I was when I was young. I was inspired by great athletes and artists when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm inspired by people 20 years older than me.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Ralph, you obviously know Ralph Sleeper.
Oh, yeah. Great guy.
I mean, I believe he's in the Guinness Book of World Records, holds second for continuous rounds under his age.
I believe that.
At age 94, he shot a 74. Still, I think he still plays pickleball, doesn't he?
He still plays. He's 98 years old. He's still playing pickleball, still playing golf.
Jeez.
Very active.
Yeah.
Great guy.
He is a great guy. I think I know at least a couple years ago he's still dating because my wife had set him up on a date. but I think that young lady was a little too much for him to handle. I think she had quite a...
Well, she 88?
She was 92, but she was she had a lot of spunk. It is amazing to see the different age and the abilities you have and you don't have. Some of these people are just miracles,
right.
Especially Ralph being one of them. So,
yeah. So... if I may tell my story, so about 10 years ago, our financial planner, we went and had lunch with him one day, and he just looked me in the eye and he goes, Carl, what are you going to do after you retire? And I looked at him, he goes, no, financially, you're okay. He goes, what are you physically going to do? And he pointed out to me that on the average, that people who do absolutely nothing after they retire die in 1 to 2 years.
Wow. That's
so
crazy.
I was like, okay. And I remember as a kid, I used to work out in Sun City. And I remember the lifestyle and people always having fun and this and that. So my wife, I said, okay, to my wife, I said, we need to go to Sun City. And so we went out there and she looked at me. She goes, oh, no, not only no, but no. So we drove through Westbrook and she goes, okay, I can live here. And I'll tell you, that's probably one of the best decisions we made.
Yeah,
it's a community. It's fun. There's so much to do. And, you know, my wife and I work, when we both worked, we traveled a lot. And but now we even see less of each other because we're always busy doing other things, cards or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I my wife and I both work from home, so we see a lot of each other. But we also get to look out at a sunny day. You can go outside almost every day of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's compared to Minnesota, where I'm from, and you know, it's, you spend 3 months inside because it's freezing cold outside.
Right.
You race to your car, and preheat it,
yeah.
and then get up and leave. So, yeah, I really appreciate that neighborhood and everything else. Tell me about the golf tournament coming up. I think this podcast may be up before the golf tournament. What do I win? What am I going to win?
You're going to win the gratification of helping out veterans.
Okay.
And more and all. So this year is the second annual Westbrook Village Veterans Club, our golf tournament. And so we're going to have some prizes. You know, it's a fundraiser. Let's call it what it is. It's a fun fundraiser.
Right. I noticed that in your – I looked on the website at it because I'm going to get a group together because I like to have fun. And I think I'm going to get lucky and win some kind of open door prize or something. If I play my cards right, should win something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, we'll see.
We have some sponsors. We're getting more sponsors. So we have Buick has put up a car for a hole-in-one.
Oh, wow.
And then Evolution Golf Carts, carts by Botero, I believe is how you pronounce it. Also putting up a golf cart for another hole-in-one.
Okay.
We have Fumer Cigars.
Oh.
Who've donated 1,500 cigars.
Oh, wow.
And with the Westbrook logo, Village logo on them.
Really nice.
We have a lot of other prizes that we're still getting. We're going to have lunch. It'll be a good time. It's more about fun.
Yeah.
And anyhow.
Yeah, I like, well, you know, I always, well, we golf together, so I always have fun golfing. I don't always appreciate where the ball's going, but I have a really sophisticated way to golf. I hit the ball, and then I find it, and then I hit it again. It kind of reminds me of, you know, left, right, left. But, yeah, it's fun. Westbrook, I like talking about Westbrook. It's I love bringing new people to Westbrook, and that's why we do this podcast, because I want to highlight what it's about, and the people in the community are there. And so, yeah. But... yeah, I really appreciate it. I think we can wrap it up. I really appreciate you coming in. And unless there's something else you want to talk about.
Well,
do you have anything you want to hit on your veteran side?
So,
well, look, yeah, let's not wrap this up.
And then one other thing we were doing was also giving away, we're giving away college scholarships, part of this fund.
Oh, nice.
So go to our website, westbrookvets.org.
Yep.
And you'll see the different things. But one of them on there is a college scholarship. So if you're a veteran, or you have a son, daughter, granddaughter that's going to college, and apply for the application to get $1,000 scholarship towards, and everything's online. So just download the application, all the information's on there.
Nice. Every little bit counts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's expensive to go to college nowadays.
Yeah, it's all about.
I remember
back.
When I first dropped out of college, it was very expensive. Saved a lot of money. All right. You good?
I'm good.
All right. Thank you very much, man. That was awesome.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Meet Your Neighbor podcast. If you enjoyed today's conversation, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And feel free to share this podcast with friends and fellow neighbors. Until next time, take care and keep connecting.